Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another rebooted, wonderful second season of Intermission.
What the hell was that noise?
I think it was Zazer announcing his crash landing.
Insert evil laughter here.
Yeah.
I am the aliens.
How are you doing, Zazer? You made quite the entrance.
I'm doing exactly what that voice suggests. No better, no worse. Let your mental imagination run amok, folks.
You appear to be on fire at the moment.
This is my default state. Like, on rare occasions I can extinguish it just for sake of appearance, but then it just kind of comes back by itself.
He's like the Kool-Aid man, except he goes through your ceiling instead.
Yeah.
Well, with a hearty shouting of Fronk, whatever that is.
Check out this one interesting trick this level designer found. Fire alarms hate him.
Beep, beep, motherfucker.
Yeah. All right, so with that out of the way, that interesting little crash landing and breaking in of our sacred recording studio, you monster, let's jump straight in. With us today, we've got Kinsey, as always.
Hello.
We've got Keegan.
Hello.
And I'm sure most of you have already guessed, but we also have Zazer with us this time.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's episode of Meta Intermission. I'm your host, Zazer. In this episode, Fronk! Back to term.
All right. And so,
is this some Talking Dead shit?
I didn't even know. I'm just improvising this nonsense.
Yeah, it works. It works. But, there's been some really a whole bunch of stuff going on in the GZ Doom / Z Doom / Doom as a whole community as of late.
It's almost as if we've been away for a while.
Yeah. Stuff has happened. But even with that in mind, I mean, there's been some really big stuff happening recently. Like, about a month ago, and we vaguely touched upon the whole ZScript thing and how that was doing. It's like, ever since the death of ZDoom, GZDoom has been updating incredibly frequently. I mean, at the time of we're recording this, there's going to be a new build released, like, this weekend? Next weekend?
Next weekend, so probably the time this episode goes up.
Yeah, probably. It's just, without having to filter everything through Randy, GraphZol has just been kicking out stable builds left and right. It's really impressive.
The cage has well and truly been opened on that stuff.
It opened a can of worms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with it has come the new fabled Doom script, spoken in whispers for aeons, now finally released under the name of ZScript.
Dun dun dun.
And now we wait for the fabled, spoken of in whispers, ZScript documentation.
Oh, that's how we're gonna start this.
I'm scared of change.
We knew that was coming.
Yeah, ZScript. It's been a lot of mods have been kind of jumping script. There's been several mods that have just been completely rewriting themselves. There's been a lot of mods that have been just mixing, interchanging, decorate in ZScript. And the thing about ZScript is, for a long, long time in the community, it's just been kind of a joke, because GraphZol would constantly deny feature requests, constantly deny updates and more convenient stuff with just wait for DoomScript.
Bracket, no.
And this had been going on for years? Almost a decade? Maybe longer?
Yeah, it's been longer than a decade. I remember when Nash released his whole, it was right after Portal was released. He released this Waiting for DoomScript parody of Still Alive, where it was Waiting for DoomScript. And how long ago was that now? It was right after Portal was released. So we've been waiting for
seven.
Yeah, okay, cool. So basically a decade. And then a decade before that. So it has been a cliche since a decade ago. And then some. So the fact that it's actually here now is kind of like this weird, surreal, are we sure this is actually happening kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do we give it a Mordeth award?
Oh, I hate this idea.
Yeah, sure.
I may have to nominate that. Sorry, mentionate that. There we go. Yes.
Mentionate.
I like that word. It's a horrible portmanteau, so I have to approve of it by default.
Mm-hmm.
Mentionate.
And because of it, I mean, there's, like, so many things it can do now. I mean, it is basically, like, Decorate Plus. Like, many years ago, the only thing we could use to edit things was Dehacked, and Dehacked was a really...
It sucked.
clunky, limited language. So when Decorate came out, it was just incredibly vast in what we could do. And then, of course, years have come by, and we've gotten a whole ton of problems with Decorate and ACS. And now ZScript has come out, and oh, the amount of things we can code in now. What are they? No, seriously, what are they?
So in the last few years, like the last five-ish years, a very weird thing has happened in Zazerland, which is I've become a software developer full-time in real life, which has a couple of really weird effects. First one is I'm sitting here on occasion, actually sitting here and be like, shit, I'm sympathizing with Groff on this. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is like ZScript and some other bits and pieces, I'm kind of now approaching this whole thing from the mindset of a programmer who programs. And so when I see ZScript and all the cool possibilities it can do, I'm like, oh, it's so cool. You can use actor pointers like actual pointers. And then I stop for a second and shift back into modern mindset and think, what the fuck is a pointer? So it's really, really actually kind of hard to describe the kind of benefits this brings to the table without throwing a bunch of jargon and terminology that I already know from a totally different mindset. So I know this is one of the things that Kinsey has brought up a lot of times, is that the nature of ZScript is that you kind of, the learning curve gets pretty darn vertical at a point, because unless you actually approach it from a software developer mindset, it's really hard to pick up the new features in such a way that they're understandable, because the proverbial floodgates have been open on what you can do. And in a way, it's not much different than editing the source code. So yeah.
It's not even that the floodgates have opened, it's that more floodgates are opening with each release. First version of ZScript, or ZScript, or however you pronounce it, depending on your region and that, is it lets you basically get into the code level with the actors, like your monsters, your weapons, and that sort of thing. The next version, I think, adds like the equivalent of like OpenScript, CentOS Script, and that to activate ZScript based on when certain things happen in the game. And I think you'll also be able to muck around in the code that drives menus as well.
Yes, all these are true, and but the thing that makes it kind of tricky, especially, so the menus are menus, they're nice scripted interfaces, although admittedly the code is pretty low level. The global open ACS equivalents, though, get really tricky, though, because they're exposed as things called event handlers, which you've heard if you're a programmer. Yeah, if you're a programmer, you know what that is. If you're not, you're like, what the shit is an event handler? And suddenly you got to make another mineshaft. You have to descend down a mineshaft of mispronunciations to arrive at the mind shift to figure out what the hell an event handler is. And I can barely even explain the darn things. Yeah, it's another thing that's kind of... I like this analogy of lots of floodgates. Plus, a lot of this is interesting because it all kind of... not quite serendipitously, like... part of this was kind of the catalyst for the whole, like, Zenoom has been passed off, GZDoom is the new master kind of thing. But there have been a lot of changes recently in addition to ZScript, one of the big ones being that dev builds are kind of now... the intent for the developers is to treat development builds more like development builds, so that we have a slightly more sane release cycle. We're going to be seeing breaking changes in the dev builds a lot more often. And a thing that keeps happening a lot of times is a new feature will get committed, like the menus or the incomplete even event handling system. Like when that first showed up, it was not even bug-free. It was really kind of glitchy the way it worked. And they didn't have the play UI stuff, all this kind of nonsense. It actually makes sense if you're me. All this hit the dev builds, and then people immediately started using it. And then when they broke, because it's still in development, people are like, what the shit? My mods broke. And that's a new reality. Mods are going to start breaking in the newest releases now if you start like immediately using the bleeding edge features, because there's, for the longest time, there's kind of been this mentality of the development builds of ZDoom are kind of just the latest version, because there's like a year and a half between releases, and that's just too damn long to wait. But there's an intent now on switching things over to this, well, I guess more quote-unquote mainstream programming idea of no release is release and development builds have breaking changes kind of mindset. And we're in that weird ass growing pain stage where folks are not used to it. They're like, shit, my mod broke. Well, yeah, because we didn't release that feature yet.
Doctor, it hurts when I do this.
Well, I wasn't finished operating on you. You tried to stand up off the table. Oh my God, what are you doing? Why do we not have anesthesia? I mean, you opted not for it. You're using the dev builds. That's like not... Okay, all right, this analogy is really falling apart, but you get the point.
Like the patient.
Yeah. All this kind of stuff is valid. It's just from an outside perspective, like in other software communities that are more mature, this kind of thing is normal. Like mm-hmm. dev builds break and release builds are release builds. You're supposed to use those. But that's new to Zdoom. The Zdoom ecosystem has not followed that model in, well, since ever, really. So it's going to be a pretty goofy transition period for a little while. And, oh well.
At least it's more better way of handling things than the old Lars folder.
Lars. Who is Lars? Is he like the guy who made Zdoom?
No, he's Lars Ulrich, the guy behind Metallica.
Oh, jeez.
The thing about ZScript is, like, we've made a couple jokes before about how, like, Decorate is sort of the bastard child of Flash ActionScript and ACS is the bastard child of Z. Like, no, seriously, that Raven specifically made ACS to be sort of a offshoot, low-budget C. But the thing with ZScript is that it's an actual language. It's not a bastard child. This is an actual, genuine programming language. And for habitual programmers, they're going to have a whole bunch of tools. For modders and hacks like me, where the hell do we start? There is no documentation. And honestly, half of the things with this documentation would be having to explain this sort of stuff to Joe Modder. Like, actually, Zazer, let's try this out right now. Explain to Keegan what an event handler is.
It's death. all right, so... I think you've made your point. I didn't even know. Oh my God.
Nah. I think that's one of the biggest problems with ZScript documentation, because documentation is sorely needed, but where would you even begin?
Yeah, it's kind of hard because, so one thing I've kind of realized all of a sudden is that there's a very, very small percentage of people who in the Doom community who are programmers for a profession. And a lot of those are, you know, your hardcore source port developers. Even less people are the folks that occupy the intersection between programmer and modder. Like, I'm one of those goofballs that falls right in that little segment of the Venn diagram. And I'm like, shit, who else is here? because there's a lot of things that kind of sort of make sense to me that only do so because I have experience outside of ZScript, which isn't fair. I mean, that links to a deficiency in the documentation. But it's hard to identify that, because if you already know something, how do you even know to explain that particular thing to somebody who doesn't? It's like the knowledge of the lack of knowledge isn't even there for the folks that are quote-unquote in the know. And again, this is me and my crazy arse program issues kind of sympathizing with Groff here. Is from his perspective, even if he were to kind of break off and start writing documentation, how would he even know what to write? He already knows everything works. So the kinds of documentation that's kind of useful for folks to start with is almost going to need to be driven by the people that are using it, the modders, which is hard to say because you can't document if you don't know how it's working.
It's kind of a chicken and egg issue here.
It is extremely chicken and egg, and it's a new situation of sorts, because at least with Decorate, the possibilities were a lot more limited to where it was a lot easier to understand conceptually what you could do with it. Now that we've kind of opened up these, you know, floodgates, it could become going back to the cliche and going back to mispronunciations. It's where the hell do we start? Good Lord. I know this is kind of random, just kind of interject in the middle of a podcast, but hey, we have some wiki pages on Zdoom Wiki, and they're very incomplete, but they exist. Please point out deficiencies, like, hey, I don't understand this, or hey, this is missing, because from the folks that are kind of writing these articles, blah, 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 a lot of people want to know to write certain things. And so if there's just something that's not obvious or not seen, it's going to be difficult to identify the gaps if folks don't say, hey, here's a gap. So if anybody's reading this / listening to this, then let us know.
Oh, I love reading Zazer's words.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, my experiments with ZScript have started with pulling the existing ZScript out of Zdom itself and sort of copy-pasting things together into a haphazard mess, and occasionally I've ended by just presenting this haphazard mess to an actual programmer and begging them to do it for me. So, you know, that's going to be fun for the programmers in the community. They're probably going to get a lot of feature requests.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I guess it's now time for all the other programmers in the community to present their nose and wait for Doom scripts. So really, in this case, development has just been spread out.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even tried Doom script at all because change scares me. And I barely have a grasp on, like, you know, decorating ACS as is. So baby steps.
Well, I've done a little bit of programming in the past, but for coursework, but it was Java and PHP, so I actually don't like programming.
Oh, dear Lord. That's kind of like being like, oh, you know, I went and decided to go drive, and somebody let me borrow their 90-something Chevy Astro, and it broke down after 2 seconds, and I hate driving.
I'm going to try and get fit and do some sports. I'm going to try competitive Rochambeau.
All right, I've been out and allergied. I'm going to go die now.
So, Keegan, have you ever actually messed with ACS much outside of, like, when I was teaching you?
Well, I mean, I made a ACS script on my own for a few animal replenishment things.
You made a script? Okay. That's...
Well, I made a few scripts. And, you know, there was Blastmaster. Quite a few things there I made myself.
It's okay. Progress is progress. That's good to hear.
You made ACS. Ha.
I guess the thing about scripting with ACS is that it's rather ask.
Stop.
This conversation is kicking my axe.
So, Kinsey, how about you take it away? I've noticed you've been paying a little bit of attention to the renderer scene, and DP Judas has been, he's been doing all sorts of interesting things, hasn't he?
Yeah, like, ZScript is obviously the big, like, banner feature going on at the moment, but DP Judas, who does a lot of the renderer programming on GZDoom nowadays, and on the spin-off QZDoom, he's been playing around for a bunch of new toys, and the current big one that's going on is something called Shadow Maps.
Mm.
You're probably aware that, from playing GZDoom mods, that... in GZDoom, actors can cast lights out, and they're very simple, just like a glow around the actor, and it goes through walls. It's just a very simple effect. Shadow maps means that they don't go through most walls anymore. They actually sort of cast shadows. And at the moment, it's very simple, like in implementation, that like... two-sided objects still don't cast shadows, and it eats your frame rate like a monkey eats popcorn. But, and every light casts shadows. There's no way to tell the light to not cast shadows. But at the moment, it's a interesting feature that's being heavily developed, and it'll be cool to see where it goes, because some of the possibilities using that for, like, level designers for more Quake-like lighting or for sort of dynamic lights to provide a dramatic mood. There's some interesting potential there if it's done right.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's also been working on some post-processing effects, hasn't he?
He's been doing a bunch of post-processing effects over time, but I haven't noticed anything especially new yet. But to be fair, I've been... avoiding the developer builds recently because of the whole features getting torn out and rewritten thing.
Mm-hmm. The thing that really interests me that he's prodded at a little bit, like, he dumped it a little while later, but one thing that was discussed a little bit was lens flares. And that would have been really interesting to see.
Yeah, I remember the implementation of that. That was... that was something that someone else contributed, and I'm not sure what they were going for, but
was it rough?
It wasn't even a lens flare. It was just like something that somebody called a lens. I don't even have a fitting analogy here.
Is it that bad?
It was a lens that was on fire.
It was a completely different effect. It was like, here's a map for Jeezy Doom. It runs an edge. It doesn't even... Okay, well...
It was like an effect or something where bright lights and bright things near the camera basically turned into Gyargus from Earthbound.
So we couldn't comprehend it at all?
I feel good.
I'm glad Zazer got that. Thank you. Thank you.
He's still working on some other things. Like, I think he started out doing SSAO and lens distortion and tone maps, and that was a huge start for DP Judas.
Yeah, and let's not even downplay his contributions to the software renderer. Like, okay, the True Color stuff, really friggin' awesome. He's also gone through and started fixing just the 8-bit software renderer and removing globals, basically doing the sanitization. So anybody who's familiar with Xenum's history has known that Groff has just, like, never, ever, 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 insert infinity times, ever touched anything related to the software renderer, because this is a gigantic black box of barely works. Because nobody wants to touch it, globals, all sorts of insanity. And DP Judas sits here and rolls up his sleeves and is like, all right, we're fixing this shit. QZ Doom, like him and Irana / Rachel / whatever the heck our current username is now. they've been just kind of killing it there on that front, which is kind of nice because nobody's even taken up that torch for ever, aside from Randy kind of sneaking in every once in a while. So
yeah, QZ Doom is basically just this big ball of landing on Europa over and over again. Just doing the things that probably should have been done like 10 years ago, but getting it done very quickly and pretty well. I think there were some experiments with split screen as well, but I don't think those will really kick off into like the globalization stuff to gets taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, just random experiments. So I just do want to point out one weird thing is DP Judas's username. Like, shouldn't he be DP Jesus? Like, he's the friggin' savior of the software renderer here.
Well, I mean, if he was DP Jesus, then he would be the savior of the DP community, and nobody wants to see that.
In before
speaking of... Oh, we've made a couple jokes about Patreon in the past, and Doom modders with Patreons, and Mike, I love you to death. Time to rake you over the coals a little bit.
No.
Your turn for a spanking.
H Doom guy now has a Patreon.
Oh, I'm just now hearing about this, and I am kind of not surprised because I think he could actually get some bucks out of that.
Oh yeah, the hentai / furry community are infamous for their sheer amounts of disposable income, and there are several artists that make their living entirely off of furry / hentai artwork.
I mean, good on him carving out that niche that nobody else wanted to / would. I mean, maybe he did want to, in which case, double power to you. But I always kind of have this idea in my head that all the people who do this art, the hentai and all that stuff, they only do it because they know people are going to pay for it. In the back of their minds, they're like, I'm going to make it legit one of these days. I'm going to be able to stop it. And then it never happens. So I just kind of sort of imagine him being in that boat with absolutely no evidence to support that whatsoever.
So like a reverse Masamune Shiro?
It's not wrong. I mean, at the moment, it actually has more patrons than Sergeant Mark's Patreon.
Yes! You're winning! Correct response!
He's making less money overall, but he has more people backing him. So, I mean, can you really call that a winner?
He's winning and losing? How does this work?
I mean, I suppose in this case, this would be less of a winner and more of a wiener.
Damn it, Term. No.
My brain's been terminated.
Surprise attack from Wartorn there. Hi there, Wartorn. How are you doing?
Hey, I was just listening, but hello.
Today's episode of Intermission is being filmed in front of a live studio audience of Wartorn and an octopus.
Bye-bye.
It's a weird story.
So, hastily pushing that out of the way, this is something that Zazer would be able to put a bit of a spin on. So, Zazer, tell us. I heard there was talk of a new Back to Saturn X release. I even saw it on id Games of all places? What is this about?
Oh my gosh. Back to Centered X.
Plug away, Zaza. Plug away. Yeah.
Back to Centered X, episode 1 is finally released after friggin' forever and a half. so that just happened recently, which is kind of like A, surprising, and B, kind of, I don't know, I have my little like id game soapbox that I'm not going to get on right now, but oh my god, it's been friggin' forever. Let me phrase it this way. I forgot it wasn't released until this announcement came out. And I'm like, oh shit, that's right. This is the first time it's been on id Games this entire time. Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. For anybody who played the earliest builds, you definitely want to pick up the newer one because there is a new secret map. Skillsauce is still in. It's map 32 now. But there's a new map 31, Optical Hopscotch. It's friggin' ridiculous in the best possible way. You should play it. And Essel's map 17 has some freaking ridiculous texture work, which hint wink may or may not have held up the entire episode for an extended period of time. That's okay. I'm holding up E2 and so.
Wait, hold on. It hasn't been announced yet. Did you just slip a tongue?
Oops.
Where have you been, Term? They've already announced like yesterday.
I'm actually working on episode 7. That out, but your track record with bleeping things out is not great.
Fuck! The short version is it's kind of sort of a formality because the release, I mean, it has some cool new bits and pieces, but most of the maps are kind of little bug fixes and minor things. It's not a massive, huge content update, but if you haven't played it since the earliest betas, definitely pick it up again for the new maps, the new map and the updated existing bits. So yeah, but anyone else who is kind of in that mode of hey, I don't like beta until it's finished, please play the mod. We've been waiting. We would like your input.
All right, and then speaking of new releases, we've got something very, very questionable here. Now, ever since Gloom and GZ Doom GPL came out, the possibility of people making full and complete indie games has been a point of interest through the community, shall we say, throughout everywhere. I mean, on Doom World, on ZDoom forums, on VR, even touch the Xandronum community briefly. There's been a lot of stabs at making complete and total indie games, but the biggest market for indie games is probably Steam. And so we have the first game in GZ Doom to hit Steam Greenlight. And boy, it's kind of shit.
I was gonna go towards that, but yeah. It's a game called Call of Abdulov, and it looks like it basically consists solely of, like, Russian in-jokes, with a Russian YouTuber shouting over the top, and graphics that make Postal 2 look like Half-Life 2.
I wonder what country this is from.
Russia.
Sweden.
What the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? Russian Grezzo?
Oh dear, somebody released Russian Grezzo. If it's at least as good as Grezzo, good.
It doesn't
I'm saying
look
that
like
with air
that
quotes.
Good.
Okay, damn it. Alright. I'm saying that with very heavy air quotes. I'm also admitting that I've never actually heard of this until literally this conversation. So maybe I'm hoping that's a good sign because that means that we haven't actually reached a danger point of, oh my god, this is what everybody thinks of Doom now.
It's...
I mean, congratulations to the guy for doing something that, you know, a lot of us have been wanting to do, but what the fuck is this?
It is... Honestly, Keegan pretty much sums it up. On the one hand, yeah, great, this is a fantastic milestone. Someone actually managed to get a Doom game on Steam. On the other hand...
Well, is getting in the running to get it on Steam. Yeah. Although it'll probably get on. Those barriers are going down like harder and faster than I probably shouldn't finish that sentence.
Hmm. There's also another competition, the significantly better-looking Forest Tale by Alec V. Alec...
That's another... standalone ZDoom engine game that's being made, also from Russia, which is interesting. And it is basically a 2.5D platformer.
It's about as un-Doom as you can get in the Doom engine. It's Actually, it's like a crazy impressive technical achievement, but, and I'm going to be like the jerk because somebody has to say it. I wonder, like, is this even the right engine for this?
Probably not, but it's cool that he's doing it.
It really is. Like, if he can pull it off, like, I'm default skeptical only because Doom's physics make me want to bash my face against every single solid surface in my house. So I don't know how he's going to be able to spin those into something that makes a good platformer a good platformer. So
physics?
Fingers crossed. I mean, if you can pull it off, then shit. it looks really great. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, the graphics basically look like a PS2 era game.
It's like if Tiny Toons was the late PSX, early PS2.
Yeah, he specifically cites the Tiny Toons SNES game, I guess, as a inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny Toon Rayman.
Boy, we spent about half an hour just talking about all of the news in the community alone. Bloody hell.
That's probably a good sign.
And there's a bunch of other stuff going on, too, that we haven't even really tapped upon. Either because we've forgotten it because it's been a while since we last recorded. Case in point, a new map came out, Redemption of the Slain, which is by one of the creators of No Rest for the Living, new Doom 2 episode that came out for Doom 3 BFG edition, and it was designed for Brutal Doom.
Wonk, wonk.
God, I am trying real hard to get Brutal Doom jokes to be like less of a mainstay on this, but it just keeps on popping up.
More like a mainstay, because he's maiming people, because it's Brutal Doom.
I've been out puns. Thank you.
You're fired, Kagan.
I'm not losing anymore.
Rotorn, get back in your box.
No.
That's why we keep him around.
I mean, it... Let's focus on the positive. No Rest for the Living, really, really good map set. It was a fantastic map set.
I'm going to go ahead and take the thing and throw out a boon to Mr. Russell / the castle. He is a Brutal Doomer at heart and is proof that not all Brutal Doomers are, you know, the cliche newbie idiot folk. He's a cool dude who really likes this one mod and still makes kick-ass maps. And is still killing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this idea is not mutually exclusive, some kind of us versus them thing. So,
right. For all of the joking and stabs and jabs we like to do with it, yeah, an us versus them scenario is, like, the absolute least thing any of us wants. I mean, if you like playing a mod, good.
I'm going to go ahead and put him in the green camp for that kind of thing. Just, I'll be that guy and just say it.
Right.
Because...
And hey, it's not like we... We've been asking a lot for people to make maps designed for gameplay mods.
Yes.
And here we are.
Again, kind of like that whole, you know, Russian game that just came out. It's a milestone, just not the kind of milestone we were looking for. Thanks, guys.
And the monkey's paw curls.
Well, the thing is, maps have been made specifically for Brutal Doom in mind for quite some time. I mean, the Brutal Doom fan community is absolutely giant. And no,
I feel like a lot of this could totally tie back to the earlier topic of how, you know, I was making this point about how, like, modders and coders kind of have a very narrow intersection. Like, gameplay modders and mappers have a pretty narrow intersection, too. And it's always great seeing these kinds of things kind of hit in the middle, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So you got mappers making things for gameplay mods. If you have coders making stuff for mods and things, and I don't know. I feel like I had a point before I started speaking, but let's just use your memory, fill in the gaps.
The overlap between people that make gameplay mods and people that make maps is incredibly, incredibly narrow. And frankly, Zazer, you are the only person I know of that can actually do both very well.
Oh, thanks. I didn't mean to turn it towards that.
Well, no, what I mean is, it's just...
I feel silly because I'm not really fixing the problem much because I'm sitting here wrapping myself up in 8 billion projects instead of making a thing in that vein.
7 billion of which are for vanilla.
This is correct.
It's two entirely separate skill sets that result in two entirely separate products, which cater to two entirely separate bits of taste. Like, I've made this theory sort of guess a long time ago that there are two main proponents of Doom players. There's the people that really like it as a game, and there's people that really like it as an engine. And the maps cater pretty obviously to the people that like the original game. I mean, they like the monsters, they like the weapons, they like running around, they like shooting the dudes with the super shotgun and killing the Arc Vile. And with gameplay mods, you tinker a lot with the engine, you tinker a lot with the gameplay balance, the gameplay flow, and you make your own thing. Yeah.
I really like this analysis, but I will throw in one additional kind of axis to the scale, which is single player versus multiplayer. Is kind of another, it's a third dimension to this idea. Because that's kind of another way you can kind of measure the different communities slash tastes and other things. Which I mean,
what you're saying is that there are three groups of people in the community. There's the people who enjoy playing the default vanilla game. There's the people who enjoy like making and playing gameplay mods that mess around with the logic and that. And then there's people who play Mega Man 8-bit Deathmatch.
Speaking of Mega Man, and with that, bloody hell, there's still so much more we can cover, but we are running way over clock, so...
Yeah, regarding that awkward laughter, Term, what have you been working on? Bam, got him. Come on.
All right, let's just jump straight into the section of what we've been making. And, this is interesting. Like... see, I was, I've been working on a platformer in the Doom engine, and, like, it was originally intended to be a hacking minigame for Cosmic Tides, right? I mean, because, like, I was trying all sorts of other minigames, like inputting passwords and just sort of hacking with button presses, Simon says, but it just wasn't fun. So, I was playing through a lot of my old mods, which I tend to do when I'm just out of inspiration. I just go over some old mods and I go, how could I change this? And I stumbled across a pogo stick.
Oh, wow. That's really cool, because that's a toolkit that was released that never really caught on, but certainly seemed like it had a lot of promise.
And pogo stick is flawed. Extremely, extremely flawed. But one thing...
Keyword promise, maybe not realization.
But I thought,
mess with it myself.
With a couple tweaks, adjustments, and things, it could be pretty fun. So I decided to make my own version, and I thought, hey, this could work pretty well for sort of a hacking minigame, because the thing with hacking is that you are trying to sort of brute force your way into a computer, bypass all of the firewalls, jump through hoops, and then reach inside and grab a password. That's almost perfectly a platform minigame style thing. And then a game jam popped up. Just recently, it was called the Resist Jam, and it was a game jam that was focused entirely around themes of diversity, inclusivity, and resisting oppressive authority, which, you know...
It predictably got shut down, because, you know, that's a sensitive topic.
Yeah.
Gee, it's like... It's like sensitive topics and video games don't mix.
They really
what
don't.
A shocker.
They really
punch the authority in the face. It will solve all your problems.
Dumbasses.
Punch yourself in the face, too, because it's funny.
Well, I mean, that was a Doom mod in itself, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, punching Hitler is always great. But the thing
I'm talking about punching yourself in the face.
Oh, yeah. It collapsed in the most predictable way. So, like, AGDG, Amateur Game Dev General, a board I frequent on 4chan that's all about, you know, making your own stuff, an alternative game jam popped up called Infinity Jam, and it looked interesting. VR, the Video Retro Board, and friends encouraged me to join in, and I thought it would be a perfect fit for it. So I decided to sort of gussy up this platformer, give it a handful of stages, a couple enemies, a couple weapons, and hey, I could make a sort of Contra Mega Man hybrid. And it's coming along kind of well. It's really interesting, sort of changing the way the game works from a sort of 3D back and forth perspective to entirely 2D. Because as mentioned before, Doom's physics are pretty bad in terms of like actually moving. There's a lot of emphasis on just going left and right, strafing, and that's pretty much it. There's really very little thought put into things like friction, inertia, Z movement, falling, gravity, jumping, because at its core, in an FPS, all you really need to do is just sort of strafe left and right to dodge stuff.
And then you added those cunting disappearing blocks from Mega Man.
Wow, rude.
Calm down there, Satan.
Not right, just that, I also added the Medusa heads.
Why?
I feel like that reaction is exactly why.
And the thing about a platformer is that the movement there is significantly more intricate. I mean, a platformer pretty much lives and dies by its movement. You can feel the difference instantly between a really good, solid platformer and a really bad platformer.
Yeah, it's...
You could even just compare the movement systems right away for, say, the difference between Mega Man, the difference between Sonic, the difference between Super Mario Brothers, and just those little differences in movement, it makes a world of difference in how the game actually plays.
But how much longer is this game jam lasting? I think you said it was like 2 weeks?
Yeah, and half of that is already done, so we've been about, we've got about 7 days, 6 days left. And we're going to overshoot the deadline by a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Whoops.
7 days left to add the bird from Ninja Gaiden.
No! Cease and desist! You stop that right now, Kenzie.
I wonder if I could add Castlevania's death.
How about those dickhead axe armors that throw boomerang projectiles? I would just put that in their term.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. Thank you.
A level entirely consisting of Hammer Brothers.
And give them shields so you have to either crouch to shoot them or stand up to shoot them. You know, why don't you just go all out?
Why can't I do that for the Medusa heads?
Why?
I'd say let's cross some genres here. Let's add Class 1 Drillers from Descent. Let's add the Copper Demon from Dark Souls and Brain Suckers from Bloodborne.
And Chain Gunners.
These games?
Yes.
And just Infinity Chain Gunners. Like,
hang on.
Oh, and Revenants.
Hang on, Caesar. You mentioned Dickhead Moose from Descent and you didn't mention the Thief Bot?
Thief Bot, you can get your shit back. You can't get your goddamn health back from a goddamn driller. Driller's the worst thing in the game. Fuck.
I'm laughing on the outside, but on the inside, I'm just internally screaming, you shithead, very loudly.
Yeah.
No, that's happening on the outside too, dude.
Louder. Much louder.
Ah, screams.
Yes, my fuel.
I'm desensitized.
Fucker.
So with that out of the mind, hey, Keegan, you've got a new mod you've been working on recently, huh?
Yes, mm-hmm. I have. Since around January when Metroid Rogue Dawn came out, which for those of you that don't know, Metroid Rogue Dawn was a ROM hack of the NES Metroid, and it's really fucking good. Story's not so great because it's like, oh, your Samus's kidnaps long lost sister that's raised by Ridley, and she's bad. But the gameplay is really good and does things that I haven't seen done in many Metroid ROM hacks, like it added wall jumping. You can combine the wave and ice beam together. But the point is...
is it fun? Because not a lot of Metroid ROM hacks do that.
Actually, yeah, it's really, really good. The music's also excellent, too. Highly recommend looking into the guy that made the music. He's got a YouTube. Look into it. His music's great. Anyways, point is, after that, I've had the NES Metroid on the brain, and even like the original vanilla NES Metroid. I love how the combat works there because, you know, the beams are usually kind of shitty, but there's a strong emphasis on using missiles or curling into a morph ball to use a few bombs to back off and, you know, blow them up that way. That combat's been in my head for months now, so, you know, so intensely, I haven't been able to focus on Jimoda. So I was like, all right, fine, fuck it. I'm going to do something about this. So I've been working on making a mod based off the combat of the NES Metroid, and I've shown a lot of you guys what I've got so far. I've got the wave beam in, working on the ice beam. Doom Guy cannot morph ball because he's not a Chozo, so he can't morph ball. He can just throw morph ball bombs.
Why can't Doom Guy crawl?
Doom Guy can't crawl, though. Unless you're playing like a vanilla map set or something. But, yeah, so that's what I've been working on. Actually, while I've been... You know, during this podcast, I've been working on more sprites.
I like all these ideas.
Well, I'm glad you do.
What have you got in terms of core gameplay?
Shooting dudes with, like, you know, short beams or wave beams. Because, yeah, I should mention that. Players will start with the short beam from the NES Metroid. So you have fuck all for range. And you'll start out with, like, 10 missiles or so. You'll be able to just switch to the missile gun. And then, you know, you'll pick up a shotgun to your power-up, which gives you the long beam, so your beam actually is worth a damn. Then you get the ice beam, but that'll consume ammo, because I want to keep things balanced within Doom's Doom gameplay. So you'll have to pick up ammunition for the wave and ice beams. Of course, if you run out, you'll go back to just, you know, standard long beam. Still have not figured out what the hell the rocket launcher pickup's going to be. I'm thinking some kind of power-up for the missiles. Haven't
shooting,
you know,
dudes in a Doom mod.
I know, that's, I know, right? That's even more so. That's pretty drastically different compared to the last thing I did, which was hitting dudes with a sword in a Doom mod.
That's
maybe
the opposite.
One day someone will make a mod where you can talk to the monsters.
Who the hell would do that? Thanks, bye.
Well, what if we took off our pants to do that first?
Wait, Term, no.
I'm going to go die in a corner now.
Mm-hmm. Kinsey, what about you? A couple weeks ago, you were actually wondering about what to do with your newest and greatest project. You've been working pretty hard on Metanoom, huh?
Yeah, I've been working on a new project, and I'm just kidding. I've been doing the same fucking project I've been doing the whole time this podcast's been running.
Shooting with dogs?
Basically. And occasionally shooting dogs at people.
I see.
Do they have Pope hats?
Not this time.
Damn it. Not yet, at least.
Feature request.
It just wouldn't be a Kinsey mod without dogs.
Shoot a
I've
dog
kind of got this trademark thing going.
Pretty much.
Shoot a dog with a holy water pistol, there's a chance that it turns into the dog Pope.
Oh, God.
Is there anything you'd like to tell us about it, or is it still rather under wraps, hush-hush?
Well, I finished the latest version of MetaDoom, and then I put out a hotfix for it. There's a couple of new weapons, some new monsters, got a bug and balance fixes and that. I'm pretty happy with how it's going so far.
Hmm.
And I don't really have a good grip on how many people are playing it or whatever, but Icarus Lives did a video about it, so I'm assuming it's non-zero, which is probably an improvement from before, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, for those of you that have never heard of MetaDoom, have yet to play it, go play it. It's an excellent mod.
Always look at the first trailer. That first trailer is pretty good, if I can say so myself.
Kinsey's really proud of it.
I remember the folks on Bad Game, they had a lot of fun with it. I remember you made the Soul Cube trailer, and the very first response on Bad Game was, wow, the Soul Cube, wanted by nobody ever. And that update ended up being a hit, because yeah, people did actually want the Soul Cube.
That thing's cool.
Yeah.
It's got a skull in it.
And it whispers at you, use us. Which I think that's kind of, you know.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say, it whispers at you, you suck. Feature request.
Oh, please, please. I wouldn't do that. That'd be mean. I mean, I like you guys. I care about you guys.
If I could match the vocal processing settings for the Doom 3 Soul Cube, I'd add all sorts of little Easter egg things that can whisper at you.
Clean your room. Call your parents.
Hide your DeviantArt favorites.
Oh, topical humor.
Let's not explain the topic behind that, shall we?
Oh, no.
Oh dear, that's a kick to the community's groin. All right.
How about you, Zazer?
Well, laughing at that.
Which of your 6 million projects released this week?
All of them? All right, so let's see. How many?
Back to Saturn X, obviously.
All right, so BTSX E1 has been released independently of any of my input whatsoever. Actually, that's the funniest part, is that I'm like, oh shit, I didn't even touch this version. Most of my involvement is E2.
Mm-hmm.
SL asked me to do some par times and sneak them into D-Hacked, which I promptly ignored like a jerk because I forgot to, and then he did them anyway, and I feel like an idiot. Now that that confession's over with, let's see. Argent and Damn Nums exist. They're kind of on pause. Same deal with Dead Air, although I've been kind of plunking around with it. It's now in ZScript because I felt like it one day. What else? TNT 2 is in full swing. Spoilers.
Which one?
Yes. I mean, technically the answer at this point is yes. The funniest thing is that Revolution, the second one to start, by far, is going to be the first one that's released. But the other one, Devolution, is making some really good strides. People have been really pushing it. And we've got like a good, close to half the maps in an actual like done asterisk sans bugs phase. Meaning like full skill placement and multiplayer support and all that kind of stuff, which is pretty good. all of which, like that part in particular, has nothing to do with me. I don't know. I'm still lazing about on my own little maps. Square is happening. We're working on a cool map, which has lots of environmental hazards of shenanigans because we're on the moon. The moon is scary. No spoilers yet. And a super secret project that everybody will be aware of in about a week or two that I'm not going to spoil yet. And I'm sure everybody's going to curse me out when it's done, but that's okay. So I'm going to just kind of play the mysterious something card and then reveal it at a later date. But there has been something else that has been distracting me from the other duties.
I can't believe Zazer's finally releasing hacks.
That would just be like the ultimate life hacks. If I can manage to pull that nonsense off.
I can't believe Zazer's finally adding revenants to hacks.
Hack sentence? That's not even a word.
Zarkov 2 when?
Well, I mean, it's not 0% complete.
Psychic 2 when?
That is 0%. That's 0%.
That's a shame.
Sorry.
Britain.
I'm still waiting for that psychic map set. I mean, psychic's almost like 10 years old. This point.
Oh my gosh, it is old.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. When was it first released? Because I remember plunking around with the earliest prototypes in like 05, 06. So like at least the concept has been kicking around for a decade.
But yeah, I'm just imagining being like, okay, I'm finally going to add the levels set or whatever. Opening up the code stuff to add support to it. Seeing your old code and just sort of crumbling into salt.
Oh, there's a good reason I haven't actually opened up the base of that in a while. So,
yeah.
The menu code in particular is like, what the shit is this cock?
Also, for your information, it was released in 2009, so yes, it is almost a decade old.
Oh dear.
And here's the thing, though. It's withheld the test of time really fucking well, because it's still...
Oh, yeah.
It's still very, very comparable to a lot of modern Doom mods. It's just like, damn, this is still really good.
Yeah.
Hey, seeing as we have Zazer here, can you please explain to us just a little bit in some way... What the hell's the deal with the Britain chicken thing? What is that?
Well, once upon a time, there was a redcoat trucker who happened to have a... the short version of the story is chickens killed his family and revenge by tapping into his ancestral powers of psychicness. And the real story is a friend of mine drew it because he wanted to, and I didn't have a replacement title pick, and that was funny as shit, so I put it in.
It's still funny.
And at this point, I'm even wondering, so, okay, here is the shittiest thing. I've kind of talked about how, I vaguely hinted about how id Games...
So it's the story of Psychic Guy. I see.
Id Games is kind of not really a good place for work-in-progress projects, and unfortunately, there's a lot of things that stay in work-in-progress forever. Psychic's a great example. Because the mod is done, except for two things. You know what those two things are? Player sprites and the title pick.
Oh.
That's it. That's why the mod's not released, is because I don't have a good title pick. And the thing is, at this point, I've decided I really like Britain's. I'm just going to keep that. And so now it's on me to sit there and at some point go back and finish the player sprites, which I'm never going to do. So it never gets released. God damn it. So it's going to sit at 0.9999 forever. I don't know. I don't know what to do with myself in this case.
And okay. Hey, you know those things where like artists get like children's crayon drawings of made up monsters and like flesh them out while keeping the same basic look in that?
Yes.
I'm saying you should get Cage to redo your title pick in that sort of way.
Oh my god, HD Britain! That's the best Britain. Idea I've ever heard of.
I would pay to see that happen.
That would be amazing.
All right, I like this idea. This may actually be the thing that pushes over the edge, because hoary shat.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that works.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. All right, let's finish it up on a fairly light note. What have y'all been playing recently? And this is the section that's probably not going to be very Doom-related at all, because this is actually the fifth attempt we've made at recording this intermission. And we've kept having trouble getting people together, and I suspect this is in no small part to a new game console that came out very recently that certain people have been very interested in.
Hey, everybody, go buy a Switch! Nintendo, pay us money!
just the one.
What we're saying is that Keegan's been playing Zelda for the last 2 months straight.
Hey, it's been about, I'd say, like 6 days straight. Thank you very much. Haven't got much sleep. I beat it.
Combine really Lincoln. That's all I have.
Congrats. Com Belda.
That's better.
Belda.
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 By the Belda.
So, Keegan, how is it so far?
Can we fix it? No, it's fucked. Sorry, what?
So, how's that been so far, trying to be as unspoilery as possible?
Like I said, I beat it, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Genuinely surprised, because there's actually... I went in without any spoilers, and the game has surprised me on multiple occasions. Like, I'm not 100% done with it, and I won't ever be, because I found out that... I'm going to spoil one thing here. In order to get 100% completion, you need to collect all 900 Korok seeds. So it's like, fuck that. Going to do the shrines, though. Those are really good. I like the puzzles. The physics have actually added a lot to the game. There's been quite a few surprises in the overworld that I did not expect. And I'm just like, wow, that's fucking cool. And it helps add more life to the world itself. I will say this, though. I've mentioned this before. In the game, there's, you know, I'm sure everybody's seen them, the Bokoblins, those little shits that, you know, on the main starting area that fight Link and all that stuff. There's also Moblins, which are probably like 2.5 times taller than Link. And I was going up a hill, and there was a Moblin and a Bokoblin. They were sleeping up there at the top of the hill. I get closer. They both wake up. The Moblin looks down at me, looks down at the Bokoblin, picks him up and throws the Bokoblin at me at like Mach 2. I step to the side. The Bokoblin is screaming, ragdolls down the hill and dies. So I was just like, wow, good teamwork, guys. That's a nice hustle.
That is a lot of physics fuckery. So far.
Absolutely incredible.
There was also another scene, which, and I'm sure everybody else, I hope other people see it because I can't remember where I found him. There is a Bokoblin, like, just squatting on the top of a mountain. Just, you know, he's just hunkering down, just sitting there, minding his own business. He has his back turned to me, and he's just facing on the cliff edge, and his spear is in the ground behind him. So I'm like, oh, well, obviously I have to fuck with him. So the first thing I did was I snuck up on him. I used the Korok leaf, which just shoots out, like, harmless gusts of air, and hit the dude. He ragdolls, falls off the cliff, hits the ground, doesn't die. So, you know, I'm just laughing and giggling as this thing just, you know, craters into the ground. He gets back up. So I crouch behind a rock and wait. He actually comes back up and squats right back down where he was seated before. So I knocked his dumb ass off the cliff again. It's like, you're making it too easy, guys.
Best. I'm surprised he didn't die.
Oh, he died the second time because I threw a bomb when he hit the ground.
Those naturally occurring bomb rocks.
Excellent game. Highly recommended. Get it for the Wii U or Switch, whatever. Just play it. It's good.
This podcast is not been sponsored by Nintendo.
Usually I'm the one that's trying to push everyone to like be on Doom stuff in the What Are We Playing section, but there's no way we can get around it this time. I mean, with the release of the Switch, everyone's been playing that, and me working on this platformer, I haven't been playing Doom mods. I've been playing platformers. I've been playing lots of Mega Man games. I've been playing the traditional Mega Man games. I've been playing Mega Man X. And I've been playing a whole bunch of Mega Man fan games, too. And I've been playing some doujin, totally not Mega Man games, like Rosencroix Stilett.
One might say that you're a Mega fan. Ha. Ha.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Yeah. I've been playing Rosencroix Stilett, and it's basically... What if Mega Man was a Castlevania, and you've got this big, giant fantasy castle with the skeletons and armors, and you're off fighting against Dracula, and you've got the charge shot, you can copy enemy abilities, and all of the enemies, well, all of the bosses, they're actually like small anime girls. So
of course they are.
Yeah.
That was the opposite mental picture of what I had.
Well, I mean, it's late-era Castlevania, so you've got these very pretty characters. And it's very, very interesting. Very fun. All of the levels... If there's one criticism I can level against it, it's that it's not an original game at all. I mean, just straight away, I mentioned if Mega Man was a Castlevania, you can pretty much guess what 90% of the level design and enemy design is like. I mean, it's the typical gothic fare.
So what you're saying is that Xerox has a design credit.
Yes. And there's also the levels, and so many of the levels take traps from classic NES games. Like, there's one boss that takes directly from Bomberman, of all places. And
well, I guess I assume that Konami wasn't going to be using that anytime soon.
Oh.
And it's really weird, because you wouldn't think Bomberman would work in a platformer, but then you remember, oh, those bombs explode in a cross. Oh, I'm limited to one plane of movement. Oh, the cross also goes side to side.
I'm on fire.
I appear to be on fire. And suddenly the Bomberman bombs become incredibly strong, especially since you can charge them up and lay a massive line in a row to detonate pretty much the entire screen.
That's cool. Do the bombs detonate on each other?
Yep.
Yay.
Cool.
You can also pick them up and toss them around.
Very cool.
And they're not like wimpy bombs either. They're like fully powered bombs, so they can reach across the entire screen and it's cross.
Maximum yay.
Yeah. And there's another game I've been playing, a fan game of Mega Man called Mega Man Unlimited. I have not been enjoying that at all.
Oof.
Now, one of the big problems with original Mega Man style design is that it relied a lot on sort of cheap instant death stuff. It gave you several lives so that you could experiment with things and die ahead of time. And, oh, okay, so I can't do that again. Mega Man Unlimited abuses that brutally. Pretty much the entirety of levels are just filled with all sorts of instant death parts. And, oh.
So what you're saying is it feels like a shitty fan game?
Yeah, what are the odds, huh?
What are the odds? Mm-hmm. Fancy that.
And there's one stage in particular, Rainbow Man, and he's like the mandatory Quick Man Lasers stage. The problem is, in his stage, if the lasers hit an item, they can bend several which ways, so you could get entire pathways of Quick Man Lasers.
Oh, joy.
And if they hit another thing, a prism, they can actually spread out in a triangle, a filled triangle, so that entire area is verboten. And this is not a small triangle, either. This is a triangle that can cover a literal quarter of the screen.
I wonder how many years the level designer got for those crimes.
Oh, that's not even the best part.
Oh, Jesus.
The mini-boss of the level, it uses Quick Man Lasers to attack.
What the fuck?
Uninstall, delete, report to FBI.
And the checkpoint is after the mini-boss?
Well, fuck you.
And the way the mini-boss fights is that he fires Quick Man Lasers, a single solid one, and then sweeps it up and down the area. And the only way you can dodge it is this little small platform right in the center that it blocks the Quick Man Laser. So when it sweeps down, you have to jump up at the same time. So you're heading under behind the platform, and it passes by you. And the actual mini-boss itself, it's a not Yellow Devil, which appears at one random place in the area, flickers in, just stands there for a little bit, and then flickers out and goes invisible and moves to another place. It's not even on the ground. You have to jump up and angle right to hit it.
This sounds like a crock of shit, yo.
It is.
So that's what the inspiration you're taking for the level design in your game.
If I include anything like that, then I just want someone to staple my hands to the table, because I do not deserve to use my hands anymore.
Well, you've already added those disappearing blocks, so where's my stapler?
Like, just wait, okay? Just wait until I put the disappearing blocks over a Quick Man area.
Quick Man becomes Dick Man. There you go. Low-hanging fruit picked.
Mm-hmm.
Nice one.
But hey, that's enough of my lamentations and incredible little adventures. How about you, Zazer? Kenzie, do you want to wrestle over who gets to go next?
Fight!
Oh, Doom-wise, I've been playing a bit of Back to Saturn X Episode 1 with Meta Doom and some other gameplay mods to sort of test things out. It's a good little testing ground. And But as far as non-Doom games, there's two that have been completely devouring my attention lately. The first is Hitman 2016, which is super fun. At least, like, the first couple of levels are. I got up to the hotel in Thailand, and I haven't been really big on that. But the Sapienza level is just... there are so many things that you can do on it, so many routes and ways you can accomplish your goals. And you'll stumble across other possible ways to accomplish your goals while you're chasing after one idea. Like, I started out one run as a... because one of your targets is in a mansion and he occasionally goes out into the backyard to practice his golf swing. So I started out as a gardener in the yard, and I wandered off back to, like, the safe house in a town outside the mansion to get an item that I'd selected to have smuggled there at the start of the mission. And as I was leaving, I noticed something on the table in the safe house, and I mouse over it. Exploding golf ball.
What?
What?
And I immediately restarted the mission, starting from the safe house, to smuggle that in.
It's like, oh, I have to use that, obviously.
Yep. So I disguised as a gardener, placed the exploding golf ball in the golf bag, pretend to garden, with blend in with the rake, and just watched.
So you're trying to blend in with the rake, huh?
Yeah, I know. It's not exactly the right thing to do, sort of pushing rake culture ahead, but...
Oh my god.
I just want to try and figure out what sort of...
move on to Zazel.
Extremely... Okay, what have I been working on? I'm a distraction. Alright. What have I been playing? Alright, so in Doom news, I've been playing nothing lately. Aside from plunking around in TNT 2 a bit and my own mods because I'm silly. In non-Doom related news, I have been celebrating the release of the Switch by playing the only PS4 game I own, which is Bloodborne, and that's it. It's not even intentional.
I take it you're rather fond of Bloodborne and Dark Souls and that sort of thing.
Oh god, have I even described my stupid Bloodborne setup yet? Alright, so... yeah, you're going to be subject to this. Sorry, guys. I have a PS4 for one game, Bloodborne. I also have a keyboard and mouse adapter, the Zim 4, for the PS4, so I can play Bloodborne with keyboard and mouse. I also have a KVM setup that switches between, like, switches my monitor, keyboard, and mouse between PC and the PS4 solely for Bloodborne. What is wrong with me? don't answer that. But in my crazy-ass mind, it works really, really well, because in the default scheme on the PS4 controller, I did try playing without this nonsense setup, and you can't dodge and move the camera at the same time because they're both right thumb actions. So it's like, shit, there's a boss following me. I think, I don't know, I just have to dodge. Oh, I got hit because I couldn't time it because I couldn't see the damn boss. It turns out most people avoid this by locking on to the enemies, which I don't often do, so I'm just playing the game weird. I don't know, so that's my really weird ass setup. But granted, like, even though it costs, like, not... it wasn't free setting all this nonsense up, but I played so much Bloodborne that it's kind of sort of, if you factor in the cost versus how many hours I put into the game, it's one of the cheaper games I own by far. So I like Bloodborne a lot. It's great.
Did you hear that the PS3 emulator has got Demon Souls running now?
Oh my god, somebody linked that and I'm so hyped. Oh my gosh.
I linked it in one of the channels.
It's freaking amazing! Because that's the only thing in the series I haven't played. And I've been holding off on it because I didn't want to buy yet another console. Still not joking. And I may not have to. It's so cool. I'm going to stop. But yeah.
I think Zazer is a slight bit of a fanboy.
I don't know where you get this idea.
I'm just glad to see somebody else has, like, that level of intense enthusiasm like me. So that's good.
Dude, video games are awesome.
You, Zazer.
It's nice to remember what enthusiasm is.
Thanks, I think.
Right,
like, we're all just so cynical about Doom. It's like, we even really like it, but, like, everybody knows that. Okay, and then Bloodborne and Demon's Soul. Oh shit! You get the point.
I'm not cynical at all. I mean, if anything, we've got, like, a sliding scale of cynical and sliding scale of Genki, and Keegan is like,
on the far top right, like top cynical, but also top Genki. And
it's true.
Yeah. And Kinsey's like on the bottom right. So he's like max cynic and also max lethargy. And meanwhile, I'm
maybe
like,
one day I will figure out, I'll find something that will encourage me to sort of speak loudly and fast and enthusiastic instead of in this slow way where I keep stumbling over my words and taking these long pauses that term has
to be. Weak mom spaghetti. What's wrong?
Fox! Watchman, you just want to be in this episode, don't you? There's no way I'm going to edit you out of everything.
I'm making it deliberately impossible to.
And the plan has been achieved.
And it's like, I'm max optimism and max lethargy, and Zazer is like max Genki and max optimism, so it's like...
I'm a
Zazer's
puppy.
The wild card.
Whee! I don't know what I am.
You're the Uno wild card.
What am I?
I'm an exclamation point. Among rows of uniform punctuation.
Oh. Hi, kitty.
I like the timing.
Everyone's coming into this podcast.
Yeah, bloody hell. We're going to need to make a locked room for all of this so we can just keep blocking out all of the others. Because, I mean, who knows? Maybe next time we'll just end up having...
Dance party! Don't actually have a dance party, please, no.
Oh, well, we'll think of something. We'll just have to block off the door, maybe lock it behind a vault, but we'll have to figure that out next time. In the meantime, thanks to everybody for listening in. Thanks for following our sessions of nonsensical ramblings and opinions, and we'll see you all next time.
Good night, everybody!
I had something that I ended episodes with, but I've forgotten because it's been so long. Fuck.
Maybe next time.
You see, what you don't realize is that the thing that he ends episodes with is him talking about how he doesn't remember what he ends episodes with.
No, just end him with him saying, fuck. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
Is he going to do it? Are you going to do it?
I already did, right?
Fuck.
Fuck.
I'm dying now.